Okay, Alexander, let's talk about the EU-China trade deal, which was on and now it looks like it's off. But we're actually getting mixed signals. At least that's what I'm reading. I see from Reuters that they are saying that the EU puts up the guard to Chinese firms, cools on the trade deal. But when I go off to when I go to the South China Morning Post, I see EU denies it has suspended efforts to ratify China investment deal. Fate of proposed treaty suffers another blow as EU chief is reported saying, quote, the environment is not conducive to the ratification of the agreement. But an EU spokeswoman says the commissioner's comments were taken out of context. So where are we with this? Mixed signals.
Well, mixed signals because of conflicting interests. Now, what has happened, if we can just go to the overarching issue, is that obviously there's been a massive deterioration in relations between China and the United States and between China and what I notice Russian and Chinese commentators are now starting to refer to as the collective West. And this has been the big story. Over the last couple of years, relations between the West and China have deteriorated. And we see the countries, including the EU, by the way, imposing sanctions on China, on human rights violations in China. The Russians responding with their own human rights, sorry, their own sanctions against EU officials and EU citizens. And by the way, also citizens in Britain, British citizens. And that's been the overarching story of deteriorating relations. But at the same time, in that those long decades of EU and Chinese interaction, the Chinese put very deep roots in the European economy. Many, many businesses, European businesses, are now extremely heavily invested in China, especially, if I have to say it, German businesses. And the people who have been pushing this trade deal particularly hard is the German business community. China is now one of their major export destinations. They export to China machine tools, quality consumer goods, all sorts of things. And sportswear, clothes, all the things that Germany exports. In fact, China today is, I understand, Germany's biggest trade partner. And it is the Germans who have been pushing this deal which should increase Chinese economic penetration in Europe, but which would in return allow European businesses, which means essentially German businesses, to start teaming up with China, in China itself, with Chinese businesses, and start investing and establishing businesses and plants and factories and partnerships in sectors of the Chinese economy, which they've not been allowed access to up to now. So it's Germany that's pushing this deal. Merkel herself played a key part in negotiating it, and they still want it to happen. But they're running up against the fact that more and more people within the EU, especially in the European Parliament, are starting to take a harder stance against China. They're starting to align themselves more closely with the US on these issues. And also, several people have been extremely embarrassed and made angry by the fact that they've been exposed to Chinese sanctions, Chinese counter-sanctions. And the place where all that opposition has now crystallized is the European Parliament. The European Parliament has to ratify this deal in order for it to become legally binding. And it seems that there is really no prospect at the moment of the European Parliament doing anything of the sort. So, on the one hand, they're not going to proceed with ratification. It's not going to become legal anytime soon. But they are pretending, and they're pretending to the Chinese, that this isn't really for real. Sooner or later, the European Parliament will come round and the deal will be ratified because they still want the Chinese to agree to all of those things in the deal that the German business community wants. So it's a sign, if you like, of how Germany is increasingly cutting off on its own as it continues to forge economic links with China, indeed also with Russia, but as this is becoming increasingly difficult to sustain within a Western system and within the EU structures, which are becoming more hostile to relations with China and Russia.
So does China need the EU more? Does the EU need China more? And what happens in the case that Germany continues to do business with China, but the rest of Europe can't do business with China? Because that's pretty much what I suspect is going to happen, which is really interesting, because once again, Germany's going to do what they want. They're going to benefit. And the other EU countries are just a bunch of chumps. I mean, they're just going to be left out in the cold because, you know, your European solidarity, which is, you know, the stupidest thing, what do you think of what I said?
You've put it exactly right. Now, you know, 10, 15 years ago, China, the EU, Europe, was a very, very important market. I mean, if there'd been disruptions in trade for China with the EU at that time, that would have been a really big problem for China. Not as big as it would have been if there'd been problems with the US, but it would still have been a very, very big problem. Today, it's still a problem, but on a much lesser scale, because the Chinese economy has now grown to the point where most of it is actually internal. It's no longer trades to the extent that it did with the outside world. It's looking at new markets. And besides, anyway, I think the Chinese are confident that many of the sort of consumer products that they export to Europe, they will be able to continue to export, because realistically, there's no alternative to them. So I think that these deals, this particular deal, was ultimately more important to the Germans, especially, and to the EU collectively, than it was to China, because it enabled them to gain access to parts of the Chinese economy which had been out of reach to them up to now. And I think they very much wanted to do that, because for the Germans especially, China remains a big export destination. So I think the Europeans, and especially the Germans, will be more affected by this than the Chinese are. But you're absolutely right, because as we've seen with Nord Stream 2, in the end, the Germans, despite talking all the time about solidarity and all that, always put their own economic interests first. They always demand that others are loyal to the EU. So, for example, they insist that Greece stop selling its agricultural products to Russia, or that Cyprus close down its very lucrative financial arrangements with countries like Russia and China and all the rest. They insist on that. But when it comes to themselves, they will go ahead with projects like Nord Stream 2, and they will go ahead with every other conceivable kind of project. And they will do the same with China, just as they have done with Russia. And by the way, on a much bigger scale, because China is a much bigger trading partner. And they will not allow minor things like the fact that the European Parliament doesn't like it to get in their way. They will find ways of forging their own connections with the Chinese. And if the EU doesn't like it, if the Brussels people don't like it, well, it's the Germans ultimately who keep the whole thing afloat by paying the bills. And they will, what they say, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So they will do it. They will do it exactly as they have. They will continue their economic relationship with China, perhaps not quite on such a massive scale, or at least not quite as openly as before, but certainly the Germans are not going to pull out of the Chinese market, not in a month of Sundays.
Yeah, so the European Parliament won't ratify this. And I'm trying to think what's going on. Are the people of the European Parliament bought off by the US, and the US is telling them don't ratify this? But then I think to myself, well, the U.S. under Biden, who many people call Beijing Biden, is absolutely excited to deal with China in a way. They really want to do business with China and enrich themselves. We know that's the family history. That's the Biden family history. So you have that aspect. So I say to myself, okay, maybe it's not the U.S. that's you know, influencing the European Parliament. But then on the flip side, I say maybe the U.S. is telling the European Parliament, don't ratify this, so that, you know, the Biden mafia can get all the spoils of dealing with China. I don't know, maybe that's an option. Or maybe it is the European Parliament really does believe in the U.S. woke ideology, because we know there are a lot of EU Parliament members who are stupidly woke, I mean, to the point of cultish. And they actually believe in all this identity politics and wokeness. I mean, they really, really buy into it. So maybe they actually believe the whole, you know, woke thing. So let's sanction China and Russia and everyone that's bad, and Orange Man bad, and all the world's a white, you know what, and, you know, all this stuff. So I don't know. Which one do you think it is? Because it's weird that the European Parliament
Let's start with the, you know, your initial mischievous and entirely true point, as it happens, about the Biden-Harris administration, and, you know, the fact that it says one thing about China and other things seem to happen. China's trade to the US has never been bigger. It's actually growing. It's surging. China's exports to the US are huge. They're growing. They've been growing since the new administration came in. You know, when one's been reading rather frightening stories about the fact that there are more ships from Asia piling up in the ports of the US West Coast than can find berths. There just isn't enough space to, you know, to bring in all the goods that are being imported by the US from Asia, which, of course, means first and foremost from China. The US is flooding, is being flooded to an even greater extent than ever with Chinese goods. A fact which, as I said, most people don't know. I mean, you know, you have all this geopolitical chatter, you know, Xinjiang, Taiwan and all this. But, you know, the facts on the ground is of a surging Chinese trade export surplus with the US, exactly, by the way, as Donald Trump predicted would happen, just saying. And by the way, it's turning out to be a little bit like that with Russia too. The US is now buying oil from Russia. Again, a fact most people don't know, but I mean, you know, it's sucking in imports from all over the world, including from the people it's sanctioning and calling adversaries. So, you know, you must always bear that in mind. It may say one thing, but the Biden-Harris administration is in fact doing something rather different, or is allowing certain rather different things to happen. And of course, you can imagine that there are all sorts of people in the United States who are doing very well out of all of that. So, you know, you close down pipelines from Canada, you do things that stops fracking, and of course, who benefits? Well, your Russian enemies benefit, and you have to buy oil from them. You do all sorts of things with China and say, you know, you're sanctioning everybody all over the place, but you're actually buying more goods from China. That's the reality. That's the facts on the ground. Now, I think the US is to some extent part of this decision in the European Parliament, this resistance in the European Parliament. There are some people in the European Parliament, particularly some of the East European MPs, who will do this because of, out of a feeling of solidarity with the US, because from their point of view, the US is the country that protects them, so they have to basically follow the Washington line on these kind of things. But I think overall, you're probably right about the second point. I think there are an awful lot of people in the European Parliament who have exactly the opinions which you characterised, the sort of views about identity and all the rest, and who, you know, put aside all these economic questions and pursue all of these things for exactly the reasons that you said. It's not surprising, for example, that the Green Party in Germany is the most anti-Russian party, because they don't like the fact that the Russians, as they perceive them, are, you know, don't buy into all these woke identity issues. And of course, it's the same with the Chinese. So there is that. That is, I think, an absolutely key element in all of this. They buy the whole narrative of human rights and they don't want to see beyond it. I mean, so you have both Western solidarity, some pressure from some governments, particularly East European governments. And of course, you have an awful lot of people who are now completely bought up to the ideology which we see so prevalent in the United States now, so dominant in the United States now, and it affects their decisions. Bear in mind, the kind of people who get elected to the European Parliament are, frankly, the least impressive European politicians. It's absolutely populated by people like that. I mean, it's the sort of people who don't succeed in their own countries, so they end up in Europe, in the European Parliament. The only political leader I ever saw in the European Parliament who I found at all impressive was Nigel Farage, and he was only there in order to torpedo it, which he did very well, by the way. So just bear that fact in mind. We are not talking about a very impressive group of people.
Yeah, I don't know any of the people in the European Parliament from Cyprus or from Greece, nor do, to be honest, nor do I care. It sounds kind of,
well, precisely,
kind of bad of me to say that, but they're just, as you said, they're just the most useless of the most useless people. politicians.
Exactly.
And on the
other point, the fact that some people may be taking backhanders and all that. Well, when you find very insignificant and mediocre people, that's much more likely. I'm not pointing my finger at any particular person because I don't know. But I would be frankly surprised if there wasn't an awful lot of that going on there too. Yeah, because it's the sort of place it is.
Of course. All right. We'll leave it there. I'll drop a link, guys, to the Durant Shop. 10% off all merch when you use the code REALNEWS. Check us out on Locals, guys. Check us out on Super U and on Odyssey. I will put those links in the description box down below. I'll also pin them in the comment section for a while, the first comment. I'll pin it. So check us out on those new platforms. And I think you're going to like what you see. Take care.